In today's world, we are increasingly dependent on technology. Our business and personal lives rely on it, but as you've probably noticed, it's unreliable. They promise it'll get better, but it usually gets worse. Our computers are slow, so we end up squinting at smartphones and tablets. We live in constant fear that something's going to happen to our personal data, so we're scared into paying for fake protection that proves useless when disaster strikes. Update attacks, fake Wi-Fi, cloud control, and other industry scandals are designed to keep the money flowing. The jokers we pay to fix our stuff have no clue what they're doing, so they do a virus scan and then wipe out our precious photos. Intelligent, successful people feel intimidated by the chaos and think it's somehow their fault. If they only knew what the industry was doing to them, they'd get torches and pitchforks. If only we had someone to explain it all in plain English so we can start protecting ourselves. Oh wait, we do! It's the Computer Exorcist Podcast with your host, Mark Anthony Arena.
From the Wallace Memorial Microphone in my home office, overlooking the can of worms in downtown Rochester, New York, this is the Computer Exorcist Podcast. My name is Mark Anthony Arena. I am so glad you are here with us today. I said us. That's right. Who do I have on the line today? While each of us laughs for 10 minutes first.
Hello there, Computer Exorcist Nation.
Computer, it's your old buddy, Exorcist Dr. Mike. Nation? Yeah, you know, I forgot to do a funny intro like you do for me.
That's all right. We're keeping it classy. This is a classy podcast, not like mine.
He's a little tired. He's a little wired. He just got back from an 80s building made of wood paneling where he had watched a bunch of kids play basketball and have a Catholic school fish fry fundraiser. It's your favorite co-host, Dr. Mike.
How's that? Thank you for having me, Mark. That is phenomenal. I'm glad to be back on the Computer Exorcist Podcast, and I'm glad to be back in the assistant role after you've been helping me out with mine, growing my podcast and recording episodes and just delving into catharsis.
So, folks, Dr. Mike is my occasional co-host on the show, probably the most frequent co-host, and one day he was talking about how he escaped Rochester and immediately became successful. So one day he was talking about how he misses garbage plates, which are Rochester's food. So I said, Mike, you really should do your own podcast about garbage plates. So he said, okay. So he does his own. You want to tell us about that?
I will. It is the Flyover Plates podcast. It has been co-hosted by your host, Mark Anthony Arena. And basically we just wax poetic about how things in Rochester were awesome back when we were growing up and how they were great in the 90s and early 2000s. And Mark gets to tell me how much things have changed today and not for the better.
You mean plummeted?
Plummeted. I'm trying to bring some joy back into it, but
deteriorated.
It gets hard. I try to accentuate the positive, but every time I come across an article about Rochester, it's not good.
It's accentuating the positive of Rochester is like trying to take my hair and put it in a ponytail.
All or one mine inch. For that matter.
Two bald guys here.
I'm like trying to put some hair color in it, but you just know it's just some weird gray mess going on underneath.
I can't wait to do another episode with you. I have way more fun on your show. I mean, you know, I love what I do here, but your show is so enjoyable where even if we both worked a 12-hour day, we come home and it's 8-9 o'clock and Mike will send me a message. All right, I put the kids in bed. You want to do a show? And we're both exhausted. And then we do the show for like an hour and we're energized afterward.
We are. And I feel better the next day when I wake up, the air's a little fresher, the sun's a little brighter.
Oh,
I don't
definitely.
Know if it's the same for you because you're still in Rochester, but you know.
Well, the air is a little less smoggy over here, and the.
But I do feel better after doing those episodes, though. They're late night episodes. They turn into laugh tracks, and I couldn't have a better co-host to do it with. So thank you, Mark, for inspiring me and helping me get to where the podcast is today. Spoiler alert, it will be 1 year since we've been doing the Flyover Plates podcast. So if, for those of you who'd like to go to both podcasts, stay tuned. We will be recording our year episode before too long.
And we are going to talk about a spectacular garbage plate. I went to Polska Hada for the Polish plate. And boy, do
you
I want to...
finally did.
I want to have another one. It was some of the best food I have ever had in my life.
It looked incredible. It looked incredible.
Oh, so stay tuned.
It looked incredible. It's a great teaser. That's a great teaser for mine. But let's go back into your domain here.
Yeah. So, yeah, go to just go on your Googles and type in Flyover Plates podcast if you're interested in finding out more.
Yes. Thank you very All much, right. Mark.
So when I heard you were available to do an episode tonight of Computer Exorcist, I said, wait a minute, looking through the briefcase, I said, forget about these mundane articles, I've got one about HP.
Yes!
HP needs to be skewered by me, but also you. It needs both of our mental efforts. It needs both of our intellectual swords.
Oh yes, HP is the absolute worst. They've just gone down in quality. I mean, lots of things have gone down in quality and become mass produced, but HP has just like fallen off a cliff. Because I remember you talking to me about when it was Hewlett Packard. They actually made some really good machines back mm-hmm. in the 80s and 90s, and then mm-hmm. somehow somewhere they've just become mass produced pieces of garbage that last about 25 minutes, if that. And then you get either the blue screen of death on your computer or your printer starts smoking and speaking in tongues.
That's not actual, but that's incredibly poetic, and that's incredibly Dr. Mike. That's amazing. No, yesterday I was at a family in Webster, okay, and I looked at their computer, right? I said, all right, this is a Dell. This will last you 10 to 15 years. Okay, that's a Brother printer. The Brother printer was around 20 years old, and I said, this is a Brother printer. It'll last you 20 years. It already has. It'll probably last you another 20 more. And I said, oh, look, that's an HP. It was a 2024. It was this year. And I said, that printer will die this year. And she goes, no, Mark, it died already. She said, it died. I said, you know what? That's the fourth HP that I've seen die during setup.
During setup?
I said, I'll gladly recycle it for you. And she said, well, they said they'd give me $30 for it at Staples to recycle it. So she paid $150, whatever, right? Which you could have spent your good hard-earned money on a Brother for the same price, and it would have lasted. So we're going to talk about that. I mean, this is anecdotal, but this is real scientific, you know, my experience, my professional experience for the past 15 years. Okay, this isn't just me making stuff up here. HP used to be phenomenal. Look, I have a 1996 HP LaserJet under my desk right now. Phenomenal. My desk in Henrietta, my other office, I've got a 1997 HP LaserJet under my desk. Phenomenal, okay? I used to like them. I don't know what happened.
So was it an inkjet printer that died or a LaserJet printer? Did this customer fall victim to the buy the subscription for $90 a month to get ink shoved at you?
Oh, we'll talk about that. But I mean, when the printer dies, the printer dies. It doesn't matter where you get the ink. No,
exactly.
At least
they would have spring for a LaserJet.
Right. All of their HP inkjet printers that are made post 2011 or so die usually within a year. They clog. They are designed to clog, or the firmware roasts itself. So when you turn on, the HP logo just spins forever and never finishes booting. The LaserJets physically have good guts, but the USB ports and network jacks on them all kill themselves. All of them. I was at an office a couple days ago, and it had an HP Enterprise Flow. It was undoubtedly several thousand dollars, right? Printer, scanner, fax, copier, right, for an office. extreme overkill. No one ever needed it. But some scumbag sold it to them because they said that's all they could find. And you set up what they call a quick, easy edits or something. And quick shortcuts. Oh, so I had to set up the printer so that it could scan to a network drive. Okay, great. So I do it, and the menu was so insanely confusing. I mean, it's not as bad as Xerox, which is incompatible with all protocols. And uses
right, Xerox is still around right now.
Yeah, no, I have clients. Whenever I have a client who's infected with an HP printer, I offer them to buy them an alternative brand just so I can have the pleasure of rolling their HP, rolling their Xerox off a cliff. Anyway. Wow. With this HP thing, I did this quick edit thing, and I couldn't figure out how to solidify the argument, so I just hit next or cancel, and then it just force attacked and plopped an entry there. Okay, it was a bad entry. All right, so I make another entry. I give it the proper name. Oh, great. Now I have two entries, and now I have to explain to these poor, confused clients that you have to watch out because one of them's a landmine and the other's proper. Okay, fine. I spend the next half an hour and looking through all of the manuals, and I cannot for the life of me figure out how to delete a freaking entry. And all the manuals said, oh, just go to quick, easy edit and click options. It wasn't there because it was hit with an update attack, which changed the menu.
I'm surprised the instructions were still in English. I thought it might be like an IKEA manual where it's in Swedish or in pictures.
Yeah. it's going to die. I'm sure it's going to die in the next week anyway.
It's scratching its head because he can't figure out what the heck is going on.
There should be a little stick figure of me burning and smashing the HP product. Anyway,
I have an idea for that later on. But Mark, I'm trying to spin this into a positive now, since we've been railing on HP for years between the shows and you and me just text messaging off the air. I'm just convinced now that when an HP printer dies, another soul gets out of purgatory and into heaven.
Thanks. I needed that positivity. I hope so, because if that's the case, then purgatory's empty, Mike.
All the better, I guess. All the better.
All right, let's do this article. I'm going to read and ramble and rant, and then at the end I'll ask for your creative, snarky opinion.
Okay.
I couldn't do this one without you, man. This is a recent one. It's hot off the press, and it needs to be announced now. So here we go. Ars Technica, January 2024. And by the way, this is one of those articles where I'm screaming that I'm vindicated. I've been talking about this since 2012, since I started my career as a talk show host, and I'm finally vindicated. I've been saying it for years, and now it's finally becoming unearthed.
Preach.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like a preacher. It's just the tech gospel, huh?
From the That's gospel according to Mark.
Yeah, right. The tech gospel according to...
There's your next book title.
Yeah. Actually, that's really good. I'm going to write that down. Okay. HP CEO says they brick printers that use third-party ink because of ... hackers. The company says it wants to protect you from quote-unquote viruses. Experts are skeptical. All right, so just folks, for those of you who don't know what bricking is a verb that came out around 2000 when I went to tech school. And it just means taking a perfectly functioning electronic product and killing it so that it becomes a brick or a paperweight or a doorstop. Does that make sense?
It does. Wasn't Apple doing that with their computers for a while too?
They usually attack their phones. I mean, any update attack will slow down a product gradually until it's too slow to use. It's not totally brick to where it's totally roasted. You know, brick means totally roasted.
What was the term you called that? Planned obsolescence? Is that what you called it?
Planned obsolescence is the term from the 50s when the Ford Thunderbirds would come out with a new design every few years and you wanted to keep up with the Joneses. My term is forced obsolescence, where Apple force attacks you and says you are not allowed to use that product. Not only do you have to feel bad about yourself because you're not cool, but you're not allowed to turn it on. So this is a more blatant, more sinister version of forced obsolescence. Okay?
They're just saying the quiet part out loud now.
Yeah. Yeah,
this has been going on for years. Now the mask is off, and now they're just blatantly admitting it right now.
And a lot of hosts, the successor to Leo Laporte, and as well as the Nick Francesco locally, are finally following in my footsteps, right? For the past, you know, in the first 10 years of me being a talk show host, the rest of the guys were out there like, oh, yeah, well, new products are good, and you should keep buying new things. Now they're all catching on. And in the past 5 years or so, they're all up there saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, it turns out Facebook is a demonic organization that records everything you say. And hey, look, you know, I mean, stuff like that where they're like, oh, yeah, this used to be fun, and now it's a nightmare. Okay, now it's just a bunch of giant robots that are up there zapping us poor, innocent consumers. Okay. Last Thursday, yeah. HP CEO addressed the company's controversial practice of bricking printers when the users load them with third-party ink cartridges. Okay, remember, folks, you go to Staples and your HP ink cartridge is $40 to $80. Hey, guess mm-hmm. what? And people always say, oh, yeah, the ink is so expensive, whatever. And by the way, it dries up after a day, so you can't use it. So yep. I say, hey, you know what? I used to tell people what to do. Now I say, look, I'll give you a choice, right? You have to frame it like that. I'll give you a choice. You can go buy those cartridges for $40, or you go on eBay and get a 12-pack for $12.
Yeah.
And they go, wow, what? Well, that's a no-brainer. But I have to frame it as a choice, because otherwise, well, Mark, don't try to give me advice. I don't want to. So anyway, folks, look, that's your tip of the day.
I've been buying second market ink toner cartridges for my printers at the office for years.
Brilliant. And you all should. Yeah. Down with the man. You all should go buy these $1 ink cartridges. Guess what? You know what? You're going to get a dud. Every 1,000 cartridges, you might get a dud. Oh, well. Better than paying mm-hmm. $40 a piece, okay?
Yeah.
We have seen that you can embed viruses in the cartridges. Through the cartridge, the virus can go into the printer, and then from the printer to the network. Yeah, so Mike, I don't have kids.
From an ink cartridge that's not connected to any network. I mean, you know this realm better than I do, but it's like, who would take the time to go embed an ink cartridge with a virus?
No, and it's possible theoretically, but it would be like if the entire industry focused on it, and if no one noticed it, and right. But here's the deal, and you're going to see this in this article. All of the security gurus in the industry said, yeah, no. Basically, they all just said, yeah, how about no? But here's the point.
They need all the stars to align and Mercury in retrograde.
So, Mike, you have kids, right? Right, exactly, right? It's one of those things where, sure, it's possible, but no. All right? Mm-hmm. So that's a good way to put it. Like, you know, all the stars have to align. So... Do you ever have a situation where you catch your kids in the cookie jar and then they have to make up an excuse when they're caught? Like, oh, the dog did totally. Right? What's that?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely, so I do.
That's what happened here, is that HP was caught with its hands in the cookie jar. And, I mean, it's actually... I'm thinking of much more gruesome analogies in my mind, but I'll keep it at that. Because
those analogies should have stayed in the wood-paneled... comfort of the of grandpa's basement of the Eagles Lodge down by my house.
Yeah. So no, that's a beautiful sacred place. That's that HP is. Wouldn't dare enter that realm. But no, the point is HP was caught doing something very gruesome to society. So when they were caught, they just said, there might be viruses. Yeah. So here's the story so far, okay? If you have a printer, you spend $40 or $1 on your cartridges, right? Of course we're going to go buy the third-party ink. It's freaking ink. That's all it is. It's not magic or gold or whatever. It's not like, oh, yeah, you got to have the genuine. No, it's ink. And guess what? All this HP ink dries up so easily anyways. And when I had my talk show years ago, my co-host and I did the calculation, and it came out to be something like $82,000 a gallon. Right, if you're paying $40 for 7 ounces of ink, that's something along those lines. We could do the math, but it's something like $82,000 a gallon, right? How about no? Okay, so here's what happened. All the consumers in the world, thanks to me, are going out there and buying these $1 cartridges, and God bless them, and the people who make them.
Good for them.
All right? Good for them. So HP got jealous. So remember how I always talk about update attacks and how there is potential for abuse? So HP is sending an attack to their own products that you think you own. And that attack, and you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, they did a sleeper cell attack where they tried it in a small scale. But this year, they did a full-scale attack, okay, where they attacked their own products with an update attack. And what it did is it was a secret instruction that told the printer that if you see a cartridge that's not genuine HP, if it's a third-party cartridge, it will kill the printer. It will brick the printer. It will destroy the product that you purchased from them. Are you following me so far, folks?
I'm sorry, man. I'm just thinking about the... which Naked Gun movie was it where they all get into robot, they get possessed, and like, I think it's the first one, they get all robotic, I must kill the queen. I just keep thinking of HP doing that
to their own products, right?
And you're the Leslie Nielsen character that they're out to get, and everybody's out to get you, and all of a sudden somebody turns into a robot. It's like, I must kill from within.
Yeah, that's what. Okay, so HP had to come up with an excuse for why they were attacking and destroying their own products in your homes. All right, so they just said, maybe because.
Let's see what they said about that. What did they say about that?
So they said, we've seen you can embed viruses in the cartridges. Okay. So Ars Technica's senior security editor said he didn't know of any attacks that were actively used in the wild that are capable of using an ink cartridge to infect a printer. Unsurprisingly, claims came from HP-backed research that this was possible. HP argued that ink cartridge microcontroller chips, which are used to communicate with the printer, could be an entryway for attacks. It could be, right? But what does that betray about how sloppy your products are, by the way? So you were caught in a lie, and then you betrayed another thing, that your products are so evil and sloppy that anyone could hack into them that way, right? So you see what they did? Yeah. They had to shuffle, and then they revealed something else?
Yes. It's these CEOs are worse than when the BP oil spill happened. And they're like, I'm sorry, it just happened, and we're not going to do anything about it. But throughout that whole entire article that you've read, I have not heard 1 ounce of contrition from HP at all.
Of course not, right? Because their PR people told them not to be, right? Right?
All it is cover up after cover up and shifting blame, and there is no responsibility. Nobody's taking responsibility for their actions here.
So we're going to call this the HP ink spill. How about that? That's the title of the episode.
What? Go save the baby seals before it's too late.
Right? HP is doing an ink spill on the world. Think about the millions of dollars of waste. All right? I always say on this show that all HP printers, I mean, 99% of all landfills are full of HP printers. That's shameful. So they really are the equivalent of an oil spill. They're destroying the environment, right? Yeah. So here we go. Then they said the malware
remained on the printer in memory after the cartridge was removed. HP acknowledges that there's no evidence of such a hack
occurring out in the wild, in the real world.
But because chips are reprogrammable, they're less secure.
Well, why did you make reprogrammable chips in your evil cartridge? Do you know the purpose of a chip? Okay, it's a little tank of ink. It's a little bottle full of ink that sloshes around. Why is there a chip? You know why there's a chip? Because there's a chip with a kill date. What's that?
Because HP wants it there.
Ready? HP put a chip in there with a kill date. So if you buy that cartridge and you put it on your shelf for longer than a year, the chip says, I'm not allowed to operate after March 23rd, 2024, or whatever it.
Did they take into account leap years and daylight savings times when they did that?
Good point. But do you see how sinister this is? Do you see how the intro of my show says if people know what's going on, they'll get torches and pitchforks? Hello.
Exactly.
This is a good, contrast.
If when an HP product dies, an angel gets its wings, because HP is just so it's so evil at this point. You have to think there's some good that comes out of this.
You're right, and it's funny because this is one of the rare times. You know, normally it's just me barking by myself, but having the juxtaposition of your humor here is going to make for quite a recipe. It's like peanut butter and chocolate, huh?
Keep going with the article. Okay. I do have something to comment on once it's all said.
Great, thanks. What was I going to say about that too? Yeah, I mean, HP is one of the worst organizations in human history, in my professional opinion. Okay? HP started using dynamic security in 2016, right? What did I tell you? 7 years ago when I saw this in a small scale? I remember talking to people at Italian Club about it. Ostensibly to solve the problem that it sought to prove that exists years later. Even if such a threat exists, just like you said, it would take a high level of resources and skills, which are usually reserved for targeting high-profile victims instead of targeting a handful of old folks and their printers. HP, you know, and that's the other problem. If you do have an HP printer, use a real USB cord. If you connect it to your network to do wireless printing, that exposes it to the internet, which exposes it to attacks from the manufacturer. Right? You know when people say, oh, you're going to expose it from attacks from bad guys. No, that exposes it to attacks from the manufacturer. So if you do have an HP printer, disconnect it from the internet to protect it from attacks. Same goes for Samsung televisions. If you have a Samsung television, disconnect it from the internet because Samsung is recording your voice and sending update attacks to the television, okay?
Or any smart TV for that matter.
Yes, but especially Samsung. So HP claims...
Get a Roku stick, get a Fire stick, get a Streamlicity box, and get it through there.
There's a new box, by the way. I'm going to tell you, my mentor, Ken Lee, just told me about this new box called the Tablo, T-A-B-L-O.
And I've heard a little bit about that.
Supposedly, a bunch of people walked out of Apple and created their own company for a streaming box. So hopefully, I mean, we need more alternatives, right? I mean,
It's about time somebody came out and... came out of the corporate world and just started doing their own stuff.
Exactly. And Nick Francesco, by the way, referred to the great Apple designer exodus, where all of the good designers walked out of Apple in 2019, and that would explain why. I mean, I always say Apple fell apart in 2019. Now I know why. Okay.
At least they got to walk out of Apple instead of getting laid off like the Kodak people from the 90s.
Yeah. Side note, we're going to mention this on your show, but for the first time in my life since the early 80s, I saw a banner on the Kodak building this week that said Kodak is now hiring. How weird.
That's absolutely insane. I'm going to delve into that.
We're going to speculate. All right. So HP claims to be providing a response to cyber threats, but its response is to inconvenience customers rather than beef up their own printers to secure them, right? There are far more pressing security threats than printers. Further, with HP firmware updates, in other words, attacks, becoming associated with printers suddenly not working, we've seen reports of users avoiding the updates. All right, let's try that again. With firmware updates becoming associated with printers suddenly not working, in other words, becoming bricks, becoming doorstops, becoming paperweights... Okay, we've seen reports of users avoiding printer updates. What did I just say a minute ago? Disconnect your printer from the internet so it doesn't receive update attacks. Or if you have to have your printer on the network, go to the secret menu on the control panel and go to settings and tell it never to check for update attacks. You are protecting yourself from attacks. I encourage you to avoid printer updates. I encourage you to avoid all updates because all updates are nothing but destructive. Who's the real villain here? Right?
I hate my ignorance, but... are there still printers with USB cables?
Always, yeah. Now, during COVID, HP, of course, leave it to them, was a pioneer in coming up with a printer that didn't have any connector, any cords in it at all. Okay. So,
I mean, I'm still seeing them, but I'm buying like secondhand clearance off of, you know, Brother's website.
Perfect
printers. So, I mean, I haven't walked into a tech store in a while. I haven't really been in the market for a printer, but I thought everything was going off. Everything was all the physical. USB cords, I mean, headphone jacks on cell phones.
No, and honestly, here's the reason why. Reliability, right? In an ideal world, I'm totally cool with gizmos being totally wireless. The problem is they're controlled by evil protocols. So they never, ever, ever work correctly, right? I have a real cord to listen to my music in the car. I have a real cord for my phone, a real cord for my headphones. I have a real everything because that's the only thing that's eternal forever. I don't need more trouble in my life and crashing and batteries dying and things not connecting. So yeah, during the COVID, HP pioneered the printer that didn't have a USB cord. And I went to a lady's house and I said, look, normally I would just scoff and then connect the printer for you and then come back a week later when it died. I said, but there is no physical way to ever connect this HP printer. They wanted you to set it up like an Amazon Echo kind of thing where you would download an evil satanic app from the app store. And then that app store then looked for HP printers nearby and then it programmed the HP printer to worship the HP server. Okay, which is a time bomb, and it'll stop working in about a year. So your product depended on the server forever. All of your printing communicated to the HP server, right? So it's an absolute nightmare. It's the worst, so far, the worst iteration of the Internet of Things scandal to date.
Great.
So all of them were returned or destroyed immediately. None of them ever, ever functioned, pretty much. Okay, so who's the real villain here, huh? Updates always include control and destruction, like I said. When HP first announced Dynamic Security, it claimed that the feature would deliver the best consumer experience and protect customers from cartridges that infringe on our intellectual property. All right, ready, folks? So HP's opinion of the best consumer experience is HP killing the product it sold you. Okay, what does this even say? Okay, so, and protect customers from cartridges that infringe, in other words, affordable cartridges, okay, that mom and pop out there who are already feeling the effects of inflation, you know, they can't afford this, right? Who wants to pay that? So while brand recognition and reliability could be good reasons for someone to opt for a genuine cartridge over a third party, such decisions are typically left to the customer and not forced via a firmware update. That sentence was the author, not me. But does that make sense, right? Normally, you know those girls. What's that?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you know when you go to someone's garage and there's those little signs that say, you know, use genuine Ford products, right? And use genuine Ford parts. That's okay. That's encouraging you to use genuine parts, right? There was a situation, I can't think of what it was, but it was someone who said, oh, yeah, the guy who fixes TVs, this buddy of mine, he says, look, you know, I tried the third-party LED light bulbs to repair TVs with, and they just don't work, so I buy the genuine ones. Okay, cool. Right? You genuine one, in some you case, it's better. But you know what? In this case, no. You don't force attack someone. You can encourage them to buy genuine parts, but you don't force attack. It's all because of this twisted, perverted world that they live in, okay, where companies like HP can expect to be rewarded for superior products, but the customers would prefer to have options, right? It's this sick, perverted, twisted world called recurring revenue. They worship recurring revenue. Okay, next sentence. HP wants printing to be a subscription. It's clear that HP's tactics are meant to coax HP printer owners into committing to HP Inc., which helps the company drive recurring revenue. HP loses money when it sells a printer and makes money through supplies. All right, so they lose money when they sell a printer, huh?
Everybody, buy HP.
Everyone, go out right now and buy an HP printer. You know, I felt so good about this when I read this sentence because it means when someone goes out to the store and they're bullied into buying an HP printer, because no one willingly buys one, when they're bullied into buying an HP printer, I no longer have to get upset. I'm going to stop losing my hair. My heart rate is going to get better. My blood pressure is going to get better because I no longer have to feel bad. I mean, obviously, when you buy an HP printer, you're buying a giant piece of plastic that will go into the landfill in the next few months, so please recycle it. But I no longer feel bad. I mean, yes, you're going to spend a lot of money, but it's going to be a very hard lesson learned. So anyway, the point is, when you buy an HP printer, it's okay because they lose money on it. So please go out and buy HP printers. You know what, Mike? Let's take our life savings and go buy a bunch of HPs and then put them immediately in the recycle bin.
Mark, I got an even better proposition for you.
Huh. Or, yeah.
So being in Rochester, you see that there's a bunch of space available, warehouse space,
yeah,
abandoned malls, department stores.
Almost every building in Rochester is abandoned.
Just go to Irondequoit Mall, whatever's left of Irondequoit Mall, and just take a portion of unused office space or warehouse space, fill it up with HP printers and equipment that's been shunned and broken and bricked and whatever, and just make a demolition room. Just charge people $30, give them a sledgehammer, some goggles, and a hard hat, and just let them go absolutely nuts on these products that don't do anything else.
They don't actually work.
Beat the crap out of them.
They're just there to be broken. So two things there, Mike. Yes, 60% of the Rochester economy is now smash rooms because we have no other purpose in life, and we're in a post-apocalyptic phase where there's nothing left, and everyone's frustrated.
But people in Rochester must be more depressed than I thought, because now they need to get their energy out on something.
Right, and they have no productive use of their no productive outlets for their energy. But anyway, you know, that's a great idea, but I don't think we would need to spend the money for that, because all we should do is put up a sign that says, "Bring me your HP printer and smash it in my office and smash it in my place," right?
You know,
they all have them.
Years ago, I remember bringing this idea to you, where we just make YouTube videos of you and me just demolishing HP products with, you know, with sledgehammers, or throwing them off the roofs of buildings, or just doing anything possible to destroy these things.
Oh, absolutely. And we were going to call it Smash P, right? And then the H, yes, and the P were capital.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, we talked about this for years. Yeah, and so absolutely. You know what? We can make one of these smash rooms, but we don't need to buy the equipment. We'll just tell them to bring all of the HP printers that are littering their closets.
Just put a tent in the backyard of the Glen and just have people coming.
I love it. Yeah, like an outdoor, what do they call that, preacher revival? We'll sing hymns. We'll sing gospel hymns. All people smash. Glory, praise. You make my life so much brighter.
I'm happy to do it.
Okay, let's keep going.
Requiem for HP. Here we go.
Let's keep going. So HP loses money when it sells a printer. It envisions a world where all of its printer customers also subscribe to an HP program offering ink, right? They dangle a penny in front of you, and people go, "Oh, I save a lot of money. I save 1 cent by ordering my printer ink from HP." So HP CFO, okay, noted that 20% uplift on the value of that customer because you're locking that person in, okay? That's called the vendor lock-in scandal in my industry. That's already known as a scandal, okay? HP has faced numerous lawsuits in relation to blocking device functionality, in other words, destroying, due to the third-party ink cartridge, and has already paid out millions as a result. Yes!
Keep it coming.
Oh, I love it. When people buy an HP printer, they consider it an investment. But HP thinks that when you buy a printer, the company is investing in you. In other words, they want your soul.
Like a perfect match for HP to move their headquarters to Rochester.
Right? It is. You're right. It would be a very fitting place for such a sinister company. I mean, we already have Xerox, which used to milk people for, you know, they still milk offices where they charge offices a few cents for every page they print, and then the machines die, and then they charge them for repair, and there's actually, they make more money on the repairs, so they design the machines to die and then need repairs.
Of course they go, and then the repair guy is just, like, you know, 2 weeks out of a training program that they found on the internet.
Yeah. And no, that would imply that there's young people. There's only like 7 Xerox dudes left, and they're all just like 90-year-old dudes who come in smoking cigarettes in your office.
Give it time, Mark. If Kodak's hiring, you never know, Xerox isn't far behind.
That's right.
They're gonna rebrand as a cosmetics company.
As a with all the toner, the black toner, they can you can plop it all over your face and make it into makeup. Just.
Surprised Spencer Gifts isn't selling it as makeup at their stores yet.
Oh, that's cool. CB got it. I love how you found a 1990s carton of Xerox printer paper in your in-law's basement, you decided to call the number. And what did you say? There was an old lady named Irma just breathing on the other line?
It's either her or Iron Lung. I don't know what it is. It's probably the one switchboard operator that's just plugging it into the empty cubicles at this point. The rats just can't answer the phone yet.
The rats can't answer the phone. They aren't what do you call it, enough mutated enough. But Xerox could never afford to.
They haven't been promoted. They're still at entry level jobs.
They don't want to pay the high payroll costs for the rats.
Exactly.
But yeah, there's still a switchboard because Xerox could never afford to upgrade to touch tone in the 70s. Okay. So HP expects customers who already gave it money for the printer to continue paying the company for years. By the way, this is called post-purchase monetization. Right, where you purchase something and then they still milk you later on. If HP can't find a way to make printer customers feel like their purchase is a benefit rather than a commitment to giving them money regularly, people may eventually stop thinking that HP printers are a worthy investment. They're not! They're evil incarnate! An HP spokesperson told Ars Technica that
HP offers a wide range of printing products and solutions for customers to choose from, including
Sorry, you trailed off a little bit there. Did you get your mouth full of marshmallows?
That's exactly, in other words, drivel. It's the same copy-paste sentence that every, where was I? I was saying something. Oh, I think it was my last episode, actually, talking about how they, you know,
we respect user privacy.
And that was, you know, that's the, yeah, all right. That's what they all say.
Why do you have to say that? Like, just do it.
Because they have no excuse. They have no other explanation. They don't have anything to say for their actions. That's it for the article. What do you think, Mike?
I feel, I feel kind of vindicated that now just HP is just saying the quiet part out loud, that they've been exploiting their customers for years with crappy products and then trying to shoehorn them into a vertical integration system where you're getting HP Ink, you're getting HP Server, you know, all this other mumbo jumbo.
It's a vindicating article. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a vindicating article because now everybody, like, the little backroom secret is now out in the open that you can't try to bully anybody into using a product that is just absolute garbage. And no matter how hard you try, there are always alternatives. There are always alternatives, especially like you said with the Tableau box. I mean, all of these people that were part of the big corporation. We mm-hmm. are leaving, whether by force or by choice or what mm-hmm. have you. They have the knowledge. They have the technology mm-hmm. at their disposal, and now they're making these startup companies, which are, you know, lighter versions of the behemoth of the corporate behemoth. And you're always going to have alternatives. You always got to find them. And especially now, these corporations, they're losing money hand over fist, like you said. HP's losing money on computers, people. That means they can't pay people.
Printers.
They can't staff these people. They can't have the technicians. They're gonna cut corners on products, and then they can't keep these people on the payroll. So they're gonna leave, or they're gonna get fired, and they're gonna start their own companies because they saw how badly HP treated their customers, and like, I'm not gonna do that anymore. I know how the corporate world works. I'm just going to do it my way. Kind of like what you did with your business. You were working in the corporate world for a while, and you're just like, forget this. I'm going to do things my way, and look at where you are 14 years in.
You're absolutely right. I mean, so insightful here. There's so many things I want to say here. As I mean, you know, with our comedy stuff we do, you always, you know, set off light bulbs in my head. But this, you have truly huge insight here. Number one, yes, you know, I saw people being abused by this tech industry when I was in corporate. So I went off and did my own thing. And I didn't need any startup costs. It was just me and some screwdrivers. I already had plenty of tools because tech was my hobby. It was just me in a car and some screwdrivers and routers. But, and side note, you know, this, again, we're vindicated because this is getting out there in the news. Unfortunately, since human beings are now isolated and they're stuck on their couches and they don't really talk to anyone else except to have political battles on Facebook with their former loved ones, you know, the word needs to spread somehow. So at least the word is being spread through the media because, well, you know, I can only do so much. But at least it's getting out there that HP is a non-functional, unacceptable option. Right. And you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
No, to get the word out, Mark, because I'm contractually obligated to do this, but you need to let Don Elhart know so that he can tell the masses on Channel 13.
Please. And, you know, Channel 10 locally has a 10 on your side thing where Deanna Dewberry talks about...
I thought it was Channel 8, but, I mean, it could have been 10, too.
Yeah, it could have been... Yeah, 10 definitely has a scam spotter segment where they go off and they do things on behalf of the consumer. And this could absolutely be something they can talk about because it's...
You and I don't even know the half of it. Nobody watches Channel 8 and Channel 10. You and I both know that everybody watches Don Elhart on Channel 13 at 6 o'clock.
Right.
Get him to broadcast this out, and it will become major news.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny, too? Like, this article said stuff, but I gave you the rest of the story, right? So, I mean, they don't... In other words, the media doesn't know the half of what's happening here.
Exactly.
Anyway, but you had a huge insight here. You said a lot of people are, you caught this and I didn't notice. You know, a lot of people are walking out of corporate. They have the know-how. And by the way, Mike, you know, it used to be years ago that there was a barrier to entry. It used to be that you had to be a huge corporate behemoth in order to afford the R&D to create a product.
Or to get the loan from the bank, for that matter.
Right, right. Guess what? None of that is necessary anymore with... contract manufacturing and with 3D printing and with prototyping and with minimum viable product, okay? Because all the products are garbage anyways from these big companies, so there's no difference. So what these guys did, listen, I'm actually, so yeah, you said that I did this in my own way by leaving corporate and creating my own service, but guess what? I also did it in terms of products, where I'm developing a product, we'll talk about it on a future show, and friend of a friend is an electrical engineer, and he only wanted 10 grand to design the electronic circuit board for the product. That's incredible. Like a normal startup could afford that. You don't need to be a huge billion-dollar HP to afford a 10 grand thing for a guy to design it. I actually ended up finding a different guy to do it for $700. So,
incredible.
So you could be that nimble, you know, group of people who walked out. And look at AMD, okay? AMD was a group of disgruntled Intel employees who got up and walked out together around 1984 and created AMD. And to this day, it's more nimble and much more ethical, and it's a competitor to Intel. It's a David and Goliath. So right. You can have, I mean, look at Saab and Lancia, all right? Those were two companies, unfortunately, they were so bent on creating, you know, the ideal car that they spent a little too much on it, but they were car lovers who made the best cars they could instead of the cheapest cars they could.
Exactly. And, the only difference is you don't have the 401k retirement benefits and union workers that corporate people have. And you don't need half of that stuff. If you make a good product, people are going to buy it, and then you're going to make a lot of money.
Right. Beautiful. Right. You don't need to have those set concrete encumbrances, huh?
Exactly. Is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. But, you know, is it scary? Absolutely. But, you know, a lot of these startup companies, those these offshoots of the big corporate behemoths, they're taking the risks and they're doing well. They're becoming more mainstream and more niche, but you know, they're becoming more prevalent in the landscape, and that just goes to show you that capitalism always wins. If you make a good product, people will buy it for you, or people buy it from you, excuse me. And you know, it's just what it shows is that the big corporate giants like HP, they're just, they don't have any creative ideas, so they're just going to browbeat you into getting the ink subscription and then the service plan and then only using, again, it could be only using certain computers. I know this was a whole thing with the streaming sticks where, you know, is Amazon going to allow Apple TV on their service?
Right. And then is the stupidity
is Apple TV going to allow Amazon Prime Video and all, you know, there's this. I remember when I was looking, I was cutting the cord back, you know, in 2019 or 2020, whenever it was. And I'm like, okay, Mark, what do I do? And he's like, get Roku, because Roku, at least for right now, is neutral. They're going to allow everybody on their platform. They're not going to try to undermine one of the other companies. And, you know, fortunately, Apple and Amazon have played nice, but there's, you know, that's a very volatile situation right there, because, you know, that could explode at a moment's notice.
Yeah, no, great insight again. And also, these people are walking out and doing these nimble organizations because guess what? It's a lot more fulfilling to take a risk to make a product you believe in versus rotting in a cubicle making something that you know is doomed for some behemoth that will never acknowledge you.
Just don't do it in New York. You'll get taxed to death.
Yeah, right? So, Dr. Mike, thank you so much for being here. I always love your insight, and thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Mark. It was great to be back on the Computer Exorcist podcast. I'm just going to do a plug. Please go buy Mark's book, How to Protect Yourself from Your Computer. It is still out there. It has now become legendary in the tech field. But for the novice computer enthusiast, you should go buy it anywhere books are sold. Please, and it is a physical book. Don't try to buy it on e-reader. Get a physical book, because then Amazon will take it away from you.
Yeah, you could do either or, but right, Amazon has the DRM. And thecomputerexorcist.com is where to buy that.
Fantastic. And please, if you're interested in learning and listening to Mark and I banter even more, please go over to the Flyover Plates podcast on anywhere podcasts are downloaded.
Anywhere podcasts are cooked. All right. Thanks so much. We will talk to you next week. It's all-